Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's message? Christmas Can Be Brutal. Based on Matthew chapter 2, listen to a few verses. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take your child and flee to Egypt. Remain there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph took the child and his mother and left for Egypt. And when Herod realized he'd been tricked by the wise men, he became very enraged. And he sent and he slew all the male children that were in Bethlehem and its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. For our regular attenders and members, if you're looking for the sermon outline today, you won't find one. The whole tenor of our service today and the sermon takes a different flavor and a different feel than our regular service. Why is that? Because Christmas can be brutal. It can be a difficult time. It can be a hurtful time. It can be a painful time. It's not always as sweet and as joyful and as sentimental as a scene painted in a beautiful Hallmark Christmas card. For some people, Christmas can be a lonely time. In some families, Christmas can be a time of conflict. For pastors, it can be a stressful time with service after service after service to prepare and sermon after sermon after sermon to write. I counted in 10 days, we have 6 services. And it seems to never fail. From mid-December to the end of December, every single year of ministry, I've been in the ministry now these past 35 years, around this time of the year. As a pastor, I spend a lot of time with numerous people who are struggling with health issues, whose personal lives are filled with challenges, whose families aren't in the shape they should be. All around Christmas time. Christmas can be brutal. But thanks be to God. As Christians, we do not put our confidence and our hope in sentimental Christmas traditions or in the fragile joy of family gatherings. Rather than a brief break from life's realities, Christmas is a lasting source of comfort and strength in the very midst of life's realities. And it should then come as no surprise that on the 3 days following Christmas, the church has traditionally commemorated 3 witnesses. 3 persons, because of their relationship with their Lord, have suffered, some to the point of death. These 3 saints' days, if you will, help us to ground our Christmas joy in the one who conquers suffering, sin, and death, Jesus Christ our Lord. On December 26th, the day after Christmas, the church remembers St. Stephen's Day. Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Stephen, one of the 7 deacons chosen by the early apostles to meet the needs of the poor and the needy in Jerusalem. But it wasn't Stephen's deeds of mercy and care that upset people. Oh no. Some were angry at Stephen because of his fearless testimony to the absolute lordship of Jesus Christ. When the Pharisees and other religious leaders couldn't shut him up, they decided to stone him to death. And in Acts chapter 7, we read Stephen's last words as he dies, as he's granted a vision of Jesus in heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father, and in Jesus and in Stephen's words, we hear an echo of our Lord Jesus' last words from the cross. Stephen cries out, "O Lord, receive my spirit, and O Lord, do not hold their sin against them." Stephen's final words proclaim the lasting truths of Christmas. Heaven is now open. Jesus is not only Emmanuel, God with us, the babe in the manger, but Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, now and forever, victorious over sin, victorious over suffering, victorious over death. He still cares for His people, His saints, and His arms are open wide to welcome them home. On December 27th, yesterday, the church traditionally commemorates St. John's Day. St. John, the apostle and the evangelist. John, like Stephen, deserves the title of witness because he was an eyewitness to Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. And John, of course, wrote the gospel that bears his name. And in John chapter 20, verse 31, John tells us why he wrote the gospel. He said, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." Three letters, three epistles also bear John's name. John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And John, of course, also wrote the most magnificent book of the Bible, the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation that 20 of our members have been working with me on and studying these last 4 months on Wednesday night. Now, John, unlike Stephen, did not face a martyr's death. He was exiled to an island called Patmos by an evil Roman emperor, and church tradition tells us that John died as an old man in 100 AD in the city of Ephesus. But John dedicated his life to serving Jesus, and he suffered because of it. John's life and his ministry fit perfectly with the theme of Christmas, because in John chapter 1, verse 14, John gives us his one verse commentary on the entire Christmas message. Matthew takes 2 chapters. Luke takes 2 chapters. John, in one verse, gives us the Christmas message. John 1, 14 says this, speaking of Jesus, calling him by a title, the Word, John says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In his epistle, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, John proclaims Jesus. He says, "Jesus, who we have heard, who we have seen with our own eyes, who we have looked on and touched with our own hands." And finally, John gives the world a glorious vision of heaven and Jesus, the Lamb on the throne who has victory over all. And John writes in the book of Revelation, Jesus, quote, "the Lamb who sits on the throne, worthy to receive praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." In John's writings, he points us to the central truth of Christmas. It's not about Santa. It's not about presents and parties and family ups and downs. It's about the love of God that's come to us in human flesh. And in verse 16 of John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, He gives it to us so clearly, even a child knows what it means. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in the first chapter of his letter, epistle, verse 7, John tells us the reason the baby was born in the Bethlehem's manger. Listen to what he says. And the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The baby was born that he might die, that he might rise for our salvation. Today is December 28th, known in the church as the Day of the Holy Innocents. And here's where our sermon text from Matthew 2 comes in. And Herod slew all the male children in Bethlehem and its vicinity from 2 years old and under. One could say that the darkest and the worst martyrdom the Scripture records is the slaughter of those precious innocent children who have been called the Holy Innocents. Matthew alone tells us about this terrible event, but it certainly fits Herod's reputation as a cruel, ruthless, and paranoid ruler. What senseless violence! And at Christmas. And today, in our world, you know it as well as I do, violence and evil never take a holiday. Many of you know the elders come in and pray with me before the service starts. And today in our prayers, our elder Stephen Gettle prayed for, maybe you've heard this already today, another airline went down in Indonesia, an airplane, and hasn't been found yet. Another. Violence and evil in this sinful world never takes a holiday. Just read the newspapers. Watch a TV or an internet TV news program. And today, the slaughter of innocent babies continues. The killing of unborn children should make us pause. Because we too once dwelt in a womb. We too were once laid in a crib. It could have been us. Our dear Lord Jesus sanctified all of life by His own conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary and His life as a human being. Matthew's account tells us this about the birth of Jesus and the killing of all those babies in Bethlehem. It could have been Jesus. Listen carefully to this next couple of sentences, please. These innocent Bethlehem babies, in effect, died for the one who came to die for them. Their deaths bear cruel witness to sinful man's anger and cruelty. They bear witness to the world's rage against Jesus, our Savior. And if you don't think the world still hates Jesus, wake up and smell the coffee. My friends, Christianity, are you listening? Christianity isn't all candy canes and snowflakes. Christmas is not all candy canes and snowflakes. Christianity is real life in a real world suffering with real sin. Peace and hope on earth is only found in Jesus' shed blood upon the cross. His death for sinners, His death for all sinners, His death for you and for me was the true martyrdom, bearing clear witness that our salvation was accomplished. And so, Christmas, for all its joys, can also be brutal. The days that follow Christmas can even be harder. But thanks be to God that our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ is at the very center of our Christmas. Only God come in human flesh can redeem us and redeem the world by His precious blood. Anything else can never stand up to the real world. There are many great hymns in our hymn book, but I want to end this hymn, this sermon, with verse 2 of hymn 360, written by Paul Gerhardt. The hymn is entitled, All My Heart Rejoices. Again, Paul Gerhardt, All My Heart Rejoices. Let me read to you stanza 2. And actually, isn't it quite fitting? At the very end of our sermon, we're reminded of the real world in which we live. The real world that's hurting, that needs a Savior. Listen to Gerhardt's verse 2. Here, the conqueror has spoken. Now the foe, sin and woe, death and hell are broken. God is man, man to deliver. And now the Son is one with our blood forever. Christmas can be brutal, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.